control over the situation. They're constantly criticizing. They're constantly offering their opinion about things. And it's a way to exert their power over a particular situation. You know the old saying, the squeaky wheel always gets the grease? That's how some people operate. They know if they make enough noise, they get to control the situation. And sometimes that's how criticism operates. Neutralizing the power of somebody else. If you're constantly attacking them, you can divert them from the work that they're doing, get them distracted from things. Some people like to criticize because they like to humiliate the other person, just make them look bad, make them feel bad. Other people criticize out of a sense of exploitation, taking advantage of the weaknesses of others. Some people do it out of fear. Some people do it out of pride. Some people feel like it's their duty to help others. And that's perverse. That's sad. Some people say, well, I'm just trying to help you. Really? Is that really the motive? Now, I understand sometimes that is the motive. But very often people do things because they are trying to control the situation. They're trying to get some kind of an advantage over you. And they'll in their minds, they may be thinking, well, I'm just trying to help these people. It's my duty to help others. So those are some of the motives that people have when they criticize. And the Bible warns us against doing things from wrong motives. So we need to be careful of that. So when you give criticism, number one, check your motives. Number two, pray about it before you level the criticism. Have you prayed for wisdom? Have you prayed for finding the right words? Have you prayed for dealing with this situation in the right way? Have you prayed about your motives? Have you prayed about how other people might respond to your words? I want you to notice something in Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, beginning in verse 2, the Apostle Paul said, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up for us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. Paul is talking about praying for his and the Colossians' ability to talk with unbelievers. And his specific concern is that you will know exactly what to say in what set of circumstances. So before you level criticism, pray about it and ask God to help you find the right words. You need to optimize your circumstances. Some circumstances are better than others. Have you ever had this kind of scenario? You're on your way to church and husband and wife get in some kind of an argument, and you start, and before you even hit the church parking lot, it is a full-blown argument. It is a full-blown argument with red faces and waving of arms and all kinds of things. And immediately, as you walk into the building, suddenly everybody smiles. Or husband or wife comes in from work and they've had a long day, and immediately the other one launches into a tirade about something. That's not a good time to do things. And the Bible tells us a lot about the circumstances in which we talk to others. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 7, Solomon said, there is a time to be silent and there is a time to speak. That's absolutely right. Sometimes the best thing you can do is keep your mouth shut. But sometimes the best thing to do is speak. Notice what Proverbs says about the timing of the things that we say. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 23, a man has joy in an apt answer, and how delightful is a timely word. In Proverbs chapter 25, verse 11, like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken in the right circumstances. That was one of my dad's favorite proverbs. The idea that it takes a little bit of skill and a whole lot of wisdom, not to know just what to say, not just how to say it, but sometimes when to say it. When is the best time for me to offer this criticism? And let me suggest something. If you need to talk to somebody about something serious, maybe just ask. I need to talk to you about something. When would be a good time to do that? Never hurts. Sometimes there's a great deal of wisdom in that. We need to acknowledge when you're talking with somebody about the bad things they're doing, you should acknowledge the good things that they are doing as well. I want you to notice an example of this in 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians, several times in the application part of the letter, chapter 4, verse 1, "Finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us instruction as to how you ought to live and walk and please God, just as you actually do, that you excel still more." And then look down in verse 9. "Now as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. Indeed, you do practice it toward all the brethren who are in all of Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, to excel still more." And in verse 13, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you do not grieve as the rest who have no hope." And then he gives them more instruction. In chapter 5, verse 1, "Now as to the time and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you." And then he turns around and writes something to them. Four times in this section, in the space of a chapter, he says, look, you already know this stuff, but I urge you to do better. You already are demonstrating this, but you should excel still more. We know that you already know this kind of stuff, but let me remind you of this. He's sort of buttering them up. What he said, he's acknowledging that they have some good qualities. He's acknowledging that they know certain things already, but he wants to add some additional instruction and some additional reminders as well. It's a masterpiece of how you deal with people in a tactful way. You acknowledge the good, and then you also tell them the things that need to be addressed. You need to speak the truth when you talk to others. Speaking the truth in love, we're told in Ephesians 4, verse 15. We are to speak truth, each one of us, with our neighbor. And this requires a great deal of honesty on your part if you're criticizing somebody else. Am I giving my opinion, or is this motivated by something else? Am I really being truthful with this person? Is this just something that rubs me the wrong way? Sometimes people don't have a hard time distinguishing their opinions from reality. Sometimes we have this opinion that may be motivated by something less than love, and as a consequence, it shades what we say to the other person. Am I being clear in what I'm saying? Am I speaking only the truth? Am I dealing with factual information? Or have I allowed my opinions to be tainted by my hard feelings toward this person? You deal with factual information. You deal with the truth when you're offering criticisms to other people. You clarify your content. Make sure the other person understands. Remember what we read in Colossians 4? Paul wanted help. He needed the prayers of the brethren to make it clear the way in which I ought to speak. Words have a way of either confusing people or clarifying the issues. If we're not careful with what we say, sometimes we create more confusion than anything. And finally, offer help. Sometimes we're really good about offering criticism, but we don't want to help the other person along. Is there some way I can help you with this? Is there some way that I can help you work on this particular problem? Let them know that you're not just criticizing them and then running off. Don't practice hit and run. If you've ever had a hit and run car accident, somebody dents your car and doesn't leave you a note, they just run off and you have to deal with the consequences. Sometimes criticism is hit and run. Somebody comes to you, they unload on you, and then you never see them again. That's not fair. If you're serious about helping somebody else, and this goes back to motives, if you're serious about helping somebody else, maintain a good relationship with them. Don't just hit them and run off and be done with it. Make sure you offer them help as well. But what about taking criticism? That's the other side of it. As I said, there's that old expression that they're all over something like a monkey on a banana, and sometimes you feel like the banana before it's all over with. How do you deal with these criticisms that are leveled? Number one, oh wow, you need to check your motives. When someone offers a criticism, do you believe that you're above criticism? Well, how dare they say that about me? Well, I just don't understand where this is coming from. And so you need to be honest enough, you need to be humble enough to accept the criticism for what it is. That goes back to our story in Numbers chapter 12. Do you remember when Miriam and Aaron, number one, criticized Moses' wife, and number two, they criticized Moses? Do you remember what his response was? Numbers 12, verse 3, he was the most humble man on the face of the earth. Apparently, he said nothing. He had enough humility just to let it slide. Now, he perhaps he should have dealt with it a bit more aggressively. Remember, the Lord called him as well as Miriam and Aaron to the tent. And when he prayed on Miriam's behalf, the Lord said, no, she's going to have to bear her punishment. But he dealt with it in a very humble sort of way. We need to pray for the right kind of response. If someone has leveled criticism at me, I need to pray that I'll take it in the right way. I need to pray that I will have the right attitude about this, that I will take this in the way that it's intended. I need to pray for wisdom. Is this person's criticism fair? Is it valid? Do I really need to improve on this particular area? We need to listen to what the other person has to say. James chapter 1, verse 19, this you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, for the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Listening to somebody else when they criticize you is one of the hardest things you will ever do. I don't care how humble you are, I don't care how genuine you are, listening to somebody else's criticism is a hard thing to do, but you have to listen. You need to clarify things. Do you really understand what this person is saying? Do they really understand the situation? Sometimes clarification, you're clarifying things for their sake. There's an interesting statement over in Matthew chapter 18, and this is in the context of bringing accusations against someone. Matthew chapter 18, starting in verse 15, if your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. Now look at verse 16. But if he does not listen to you, take one or two more with you, so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. Now sometimes the person bringing the accusation needs to usher in a couple of witnesses. Sometimes the person who is being accused needs to have some witnesses. Because sometimes what happens is, I see somebody, I see a behavior, I see something that they're doing, it rubs me the wrong way, I have concerns about it, so I say, well, Brother Jones, you need to fix this. And what Brother Jones may do is, well, Cloyce, I would fix it, but here's the information you don't have. Oh, I see. Sometimes we just don't have all the facts when we bring these criticisms. And constructive criticism, constructive listening, constructive replies will help take care of that. When we get all of the information together, suddenly maybe that other person's behavior makes a whole lot of sense. If I knew they were going through this, I might not have had that criticism. So you can clarify things when others bring criticisms and complaints against you. If you're in the wrong, you need to repent. It's that simple. Particularly if this is a moral matter, if this is a matter of sin, the Bible talks about repentance. Repentance is the only way that we have to deal with sin. Now, it may not be a sin. It may just be a matter of personal preference or personal indifference. If I bring a criticism against somebody about an opinion, it is unreasonable for me to expect that they're going to repent. Repentance involves sin, and I need to make it very clear that if I'm bringing an accusation, is this just an opinion of mine or is this an actual sin? Likewise, if I'm receiving the criticism, I need to honestly evaluate myself and say, look, I may be guilty of sin here. If sin is involved, then we need to repent. Then I need to speak kindly to and about that person. It does no good if somebody criticizes me and suddenly, well, now, we're not friends anymore. Doesn't work that way in Christ. Over in 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3, in verse 8, Peter said, to sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. How often do we see this? Somebody brings a criticism and we throw one right back. Something we've been saving up for a while. I heard a black preacher one time, he was talking about marital conflict. And he said what happens is a lot of times husband and wife get in an argument and they agree to bury the hatchet. But he said they leave the handle sticking out so they have something to grab onto. Well, you criticize me, I'm going to criticize you. Don't leave the handle sticking out. If you bury the hatchet, bury the hatchet. But don't use an occasion like this to get back at the other person. And finally, you need to have the willingness to do good to the other person. Okay, they have brought a criticism against me. Maybe that person is right. Maybe that person is wrong. Is this going to change the relationship that I have with this person? Now, some people are in constant criticism mode. As I said, some people view it as their duty to go around helping others or criticizing others. If that's the case, that person may have a problem that needs to be addressed. But I need to look for opportunities to do good to this person, even if they have criticized me, even if they don't agree with something that I'm doing, even if we can't come to a mutual agreement. We still need to treat one another like brothers and sisters in Christ. That is always the requirement. As I said, I don't know of anyone. I have never met anyone who enjoys being criticized. And being criticized can be a very hard thing. Receiving criticism, giving criticism in a constructive and loving way is a hard thing. Receiving it in a loving and constructive way is a hard thing. It can make us better. It can make us better if we'll let it. But we need to make sure we're doing it in the right way. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, we always want to end our services with an opportunity for you to obey the gospel, for you to be baptized into Christ Jesus, to begin that walk with the Lord, begin your life anew. You have that opportunity tonight. For those of us that are Christians, this lesson reminds us that we need to look at every part of our lives. Sometimes self-examination is an awfully hard and ugly thing. But it's necessary if we're going to grow in the ways that we ought to as Christians. We can help you in your walk with the Lord tonight. We invite